Hey y'all, it's your girl Who Swirls, Chris Karazin from Beyond Black and White, coming at you on location in my son Zachary's room. As you can see, he is quite the Lego builder. He's pretty amazing. Reason why I'm in my son's room is to drive home a point. For the last few weeks, we have talked about pretty much the entire month of August, talked about how black women and men should really think carefully about supporting movies like NWA and supporting groups that are clearly misogynist. And we went through all the reasons why. We talked about Dr. Dre and his beating his girlfriend's and wife Michelle A, beating Dee Barnes to the point where she thought she was going to die, as well as another rapper whom he had committed violence on. He said he was young when he did this, but I think he was around 25, 30 when this stuff was going down. I don't consider that young. I consider it dumb, but not young. But something that I read today made me think, where does all this stuff come from? Like, this stuff doesn't just come out of nowhere. And I often wonder if there's a link between the group that has the highest out of wedlock rate also have the highest incidence of misogyny and misogynoir, specifically hatred of black women. And I was reading an article today, "Are Black Mothers Beating Their Sons Into Misogyny?" And they use the example of, in the movie, I haven't seen the movie, but the author uses the example of when Dr. Dre's mother slaps him, and it's celebrated, for a lot of people, that's how you show love. If you don't beat your children in the black community, you don't love them. And white people, you know, they don't beat their kids, and look how they talk to them. And the fact of the matter is that I'm gonna have to see the point that there is probably a link between the lack of fathers in the home and the hatred that we see a lot with black women. And if you look at the rise of the out of wedlock rate in the black community through like 1960 to now, you can sort of see how the attitudes have changed towards black women from black men. And this is not to blame anybody. We just have got to tell the truth. Like, if we're going to make a difference, we're gonna have to tell the truth, right? So this is what we're doing right now. So in this particular article, it goes on and interviews other black men who said that they were beaten mercilessly by their mothers. They were told that they ain't shit. They were beaten so badly, and one guy was like, "She beat me so much, I felt like I was getting the beating for somebody else." And that's pretty significant, and I'll go back to that after. Okay, so we've got the first example. Brian Kevin Aslip, a 22-year-old valet from Baltimore, said his mother was verbally abusive and started beating him when he was 2 or 3, using her fists, a packet of clothes hangers, a plastic t-ball bat, and other objects. "She would use mostly her fists or whatever was around that could hurt me, but not possibly kill me. Some stuff she took out on me because I was there. She's thrown a glass bottle at me. She picked up a dining room chair and was about to hit me with it, but I screamed and she put it down. He said his mother used verbal and physical abuse simultaneously. She would tell me I wasn't shit. She would call me the B word. She'd call me a motherfucker. She called me a fat pig. She called me stupid. That I was a fuck up. A lot of stuff that I spent a good part of my childhood suppressing and trying to forget. And then we go on here where... Here's another guy, Anthony Modesto Million, said, my aunt would hit me almost every day. My aunt would use anything she could grab. When she hit me with a metal pipe, and another time she lacerated my head with a can of Glory mustard greens. She then kicked me out of the house and made me walk to school with my head open and blood pouring down my face. Another one, Kevin McNeil, 40 years old, reservation manager for Alcoholics Anonymous. His mother would beat him with belts and switches and brooms anytime he gave her an attitude. She often laced her comments with profanity. I usually experienced the full gamut of emotions, including fear, stress, guilt, and anger. I certainly felt that being whooped was normal and that I thought I brought it upon myself. I felt like she hated me. She would be so intense and so angry as she whipped me that I felt like I was receiving someone else's punishment. Gosh, there's just so many stories and it's really heartbreaking. Here's another guy, Anthony Jones, 58-year-old electrical mechanic from Pasadena. My mother whipped me every time I did something that she thought was serious enough. She often bragged about it to family members, said 38-year-old Ramon Billingsley, who's a PhD student. His mother continued beating and threatening him up until his senior year in high school. If she did not hit me, then she would threaten to do it in an effort to make me comply with her instructions. Okay, and then this part is hard to say. It's hard to hear, but you cannot argue people's life experiences. You can't argue people's truths, because you know everybody has a story. And these stories, frankly, that I'm reading right now, I've seen in certain classes of women, but I'm gonna delve deeper in a little bit. So this guy says, Gaines said he didn't have any animosity toward women, but I do think having a mom who is the traditional black mom, loud, overbearing, strict, religious, made me really timid as a child. I always tried to make her happy and please her, he said. In dating, I never wanted to be with a woman who had those tendencies of personality. I wanted a strong, educated, fierce, career-driven woman, but didn't want any of those aspects or traits that my mom had that I worked so hard to please. And there's a guy who says that the dysfunction just totally turned him off from dating black women. He says that this guy Brooks, he says, I don't think I will ever marry a black woman, and I'm relatively certain that I won't date another one, at least not in the near future. I don't believe that there's anything inherently wrong with black women, nor are they deserving of being bashed as a group. I just feel that my experiences with my mother and the resulting tendency to choose women that share many of her personality traits and characteristics have turned me off from them, because I just don't think I will ever find one that I'm compatible enough to be with. Honestly, although I loved my mother, I almost grew to hate her for beating me, said Billingsley. The beatings were so painful. I had marks. One time my mother waited until I had taken a shower to beat me while I was still wet. It was awful. Although I knew she loved me, she had a mean side. I often felt that she was taking out her private frustrations while beating me. So, yeah, I think I've read that one twice. I'm sorry. But one of the things that resonated with this when I was reading this piece was how difficult it is to raise a child by yourself. I was a single parent with my first child, I call her Maximie. That's not a real name, but and I got married when she was 4 years old, and being the single mom and knowing how hard that was, how stressful it was, because I'm gonna take you back there for a second. So when I was a single mom, I had her when I was 25 years old, and I graduated college with honors, and I did well, but I was so stressed. I was so stressed because I knew that ultimately I was going to be responsible for everything. I was raising this child. I was the one responsible for dropping her off to nursery school. I was the one responsible for feeding her breakfast, lunch, and dinners. I was the one that was responsible for teaching her academic stuff, getting her ready for kindergarten. You know, I was the one that had to kiss the boo-boos. I was the one that would have to take off work if she was sick. If my job required that I work out of town, which it did sometimes, I would be freaking out because I would often have to travel to Los Angeles, which was an hour and a half away, and with traffic during the week, it was horrible. I didn't have any family around, and I broke all kinds of traffic laws trying to get my daughter out of daycare in time because 6 o'clock was the cutoff, and then thereafter you were charged these astronomical amounts extra. So it was very, very stressful. And sometimes I would go home and I would just cry. I would just cry because it was so, so hard. And when I got married and when me and my husband were raising children in a partnership situation, where we had roles that we agreed upon. It's not traditional roles like I cook and he works and he doesn't do anything else. I mean, we share a lot of the same chores. I earn money, he earns money, you know, he does the kids' laundries, I mop the floor. I mean, we share in these duties, but it just makes things so much easier. And in turn, my stress level is not that of a single mom. And this is not to knock single moms, because I know how hard it is. I know how much you want to do your best. I know how much society tells you that you should look at all of this as a blessing and that you should never complain. There's so much pressure that you want your child, especially if you have a son, and I have a son, you don't want your child to succumb to all the temptations out there. And sometimes I believe, I've never been a single mom of a son, but trying to be empathetic and being in their shoes, thinking, I need to teach this kid to be tough. I need to, you know, he's got to learn how to fight, so I'm going to have to, like, beat him up. Me, and traditionally, the mom's role is supposed to be a soft place to fall. So you're supposed to be the soft place to fall, and then you turn around and beat your kid's ass. I mean, it's, you know, there's a yin and a yang in terms of having two parents, where you have one that's kind of, it's like good cop, bad cop. But when you're just all alone, you're the only cop. And a lot of times, I can imagine being so overwhelmed, being so frustrated, being so heartbroken, feeling like all of this is eating you up inside, but not being able to express it. So you channel it into being super hard and super critical, because you're trying so hard to raise this son and you're so scared that he's going to go and be a statistic, and you're so invested in your own pride, because let's face it, we all have that, that we don't want to be seen as failures if our child, because as soon as your kid drops out of high school or joins a gang or goes to jail, they're looking at you like you didn't do your job. So I understand that. A while back, I wrote a piece that was like totally misinterpreted, but I'm using this as an opportunity to bring it up now. I said, sisters, stop giving birth to men who hate you. Now, a lot of people who just really don't have any concept of nuance thought I was advocating black women to have abortions, and it wasn't even about that. It was about being really, really careful about who you choose to bring a life into the world, because if a situation occurs where you are the only parent, you will get all of the glory and all of the blame in equal measure or unfairly measured. And what happens is that, especially for boys who really, really need a masculine influence, who really need that balance, and who really need for you as the mom to be their soft place, often get all these feelings of frustration and confusion. They love you because you're the mom, but they hate what you represent. And a lot of times it's women who look like me. So there is a cycle that's going on. Like Dr. Dre's misogyny and hatred and violence towards black women didn't come out because his mother was the black version of June Cleaver. So there's definitely you have to look at things from a full spectrum. You know, I can't imagine saying to my son that he's not shit and beating the crap out of him and bragging to my friends, like, you guys, as a black woman, as a parent, please, we need to stop. We need to find other tools besides beating our children. You have to have something in that toolbox besides a hammer to discipline your children, because they do hold you accountable. And I'm going to put the link to the article again, and I want the people who were very critical of what I said to look at it in fresh eyes now that they've heard what I've had to say. Because once you see what I'm trying to say, women, guard your wombs. Choose better, but don't choose, you know, the least rotten out of a whole barrel of rotten apples. You need to widen your pool. You need to widen your exposure to quality men. And that's what I advocate. I don't advocate for black women to eliminate dating black men. Of course, everybody has their preference, and hey, if that's what you want, go with God. But what I'm trying to do is trying to encourage black women to date efficiently and to date abundantly so that they have choice, because it's so important. Choosing the person whom you are going to have children with is so, so important. And it affects us. It's not just your life. Eventually, these people do go out into the world and they make an impact, negative or positive. Dre went out to the world, and it's debatable what kind of impact that he's made. You guys know what my opinion is of what he made in terms of his impact. All right, so I hope that you guys will take this in the spirit in which I'm trying to communicate. I do mean this in love. This is not a judging situation. I'm not trying to down anybody, but there's got to come a time where both parties have to accept responsibility of each other's pain. You know, black men, you have to accept responsibility for black women's pain. The same goes for us, you know. I personally haven't imposed any pain on any black men, but I'm talking about the mothers and the grandmothers and the aunts who had young boys who turned into men who were in their care. And while they did the best they could, it wasn't always the best thing that they did. All right, so if you guys want to reach out to me, I'm at Christelyn, C-H-R-I-S-T-E-L-Y-N, at beyondblackwhite.com. Bye.